It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
That's right, we're back here with another exciting week of Sports Talk Radio here on the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. Later on in the show, about 8:05, my main man Bibbs, who joins me each and every week, will join the Tony Sands Show. We also have my main man VC, the insider for the Denver Broncos, is joining the Tony Sands Show. That's right, I said the insider for the Denver Broncos, to bring me to up-to-date news with the Denver Broncos, Peyton Manning and his style of play. Peyton Manning goes up against one of the strongest offenses, fastest offense in the league. Can Peyton Manning take his team and beat the Philadelphia Eagles? Philadelphia is on a slide. They're trying to figure out who they are. They jumped out with a fast week in week one. Can they get back to that style of play, or do Peyton Manning and Rex Walter go in there and demolish Chip Kelly's team? Chip Kelly, can you bring the style of play from college football to the NFL and get the same results? Week one, you were fabulous. Now here we are, and all of a sudden, seems like the wheels are rolling off the bus. That's right, I said it. They are struggling. And now you start questioning, is it the play calling? Is it your quarterback? And in a lot of places, that situation is taking place. It is taking place where? With the Tampa Bay Bucks. That's right, I said it. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are benching Josh Freeman to go with Mike Gillen. Why? Because things are not taking place the way Greg Schiano thought that they would take place. So I guess he feel now's a change. But now, does that seem like it puts Greg Schiano's coaching job in jeopardy with the Bucks? We're going to find out that later on in the Tony Sands Show. Also, Joe Flacco for the Baltimore Ravens and Ray Lewis has a disagreement in what they see as leadership. And we're going to dig into that here on the Tony Sands Show. Find out who got the better of the deal, the New England Patriots or the Denver Broncos? Wex Walters for Amendola. We will dip into that. RG3, what is still going on with the Washington Redskins? We're going to dig into that later. And that's right, the Miami Dolphins won. They're 3-0. I'm going to bring one of my guys on that knows a lot about the Miami Dolphins. He liked digging into the Miami Dolphins. He is a lawyer fan. I'm bringing a fan of the Miami Dolphins on the Tony Sands Show. Mr. G will come on the Tony Sands Show about 8:40. And we're going to talk Miami Dolphins. That's right, I said we're going to talk Miami Dolphins. So my show is filled up. I want to fill your ears with my talk. My guys joining me here on the Tony Sands Show. Let's dig into Sports Talk Radio. The Chiefs are on a roll. That's right. I said the Chiefs are on a roll when it comes to winning. He had an opportunity, went back and faced his old team, and there's no other feeling than beating your old team. There's no other feeling like it. Chip Kelly's already, he's raising his voice saying he would play Peyton Manning in the parking lot if that's what need be. And we're going to find out, if you had to play him in the parking lot, can you beat the Denver Broncos? Can Philadelphia upset the Denver Broncos? Colin Kaepernick, can he bounce back from his struggles? We're going to dig deep into that here on the Tony Sands Show. But before we get into that, and before I bring my main man Bibbs to this Tony Sands Show, we're going to dig right quick into a commercial, and we're coming back and we're talking what? Sports Talk Radio. Let's go to a commercial break.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now. If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
We're back here live on the Tony Sands Show. Joining me is my main man that joins me each and every week, Mr. B out of D-Town. What's going on, Bills? What's happening, man?
Oh, man, not too much. No motion around here, Tony. How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing good. You saying slow motion. What is it, slow motion for the Cowboys? Because it can't be slow motion for them because they are on a roll. They are top of the NFC East. How can it be a slow motion in Texas when the Dallas Cowboys are on top of the NFC East?
Well, you know, in Texas, everything is, you know, we slow motion around here. Everything is real chill. We can't get too excited right now, man. We've been in this position before, and, you know, what matters is December to the Cowboys. You know, December has always been a tough stretch for us, and if we can do what we've been doing in the first half of the season, in that second half, then we have reason to be, you know, real excited and upbeat about what's going on in the NFL, especially in the NFC East.
But now they're not putting up some of the most spectacular numbers when it comes to their rankings in the NFL. You know, they're 18th in passing, 16th in rushing. Those numbers can drop to where you get, but then that top 10 percentile in passing and the top 10 percentile in rushing, you're 224 averaging yards passing and 105 yards rushing. But one thing I did see in the St. Louis game that really struck my mind, and if the Cowboys can get it rolling, it could be a great season for the Cowboys. I got a chance to see that running attack that everyone's been speaking about with the Dallas Cowboys going to effect. Now, if DeMarco Murray can stay healthy and they can produce that type of running attack, I see the Dallas Cowboys really, truly making that march that everybody's speaking about in December. What's your take on that?
I definitely agree with you. I've always stated, you know, if the Cowboys can run the ball efficient enough to give Tony Romo something to lean on in the fourth quarter of games, then they'll be successful, you know, and they'll be successful in the later half of the season, which is when typically teams tend to lean on their running game a lot more. You know, it's been plenty of games where I've seen Tony Romo have to drop back and throw the ball entirely too many times, and that's right. You know, mainly because they didn't have a running attack or a sufficient enough running attack to sustain drives or to run the clock down in, you know, later times in the game. But, you know, if they had a tremendous game on the ground against St. Louis, I think DeMarco rushed for 175 yards. I think he really just likes playing against St. Louis Rams because, you know, he ran for the Cowboys record the last time he faced against the St. Louis Rams. And I guess this time he said, I'm going to try to do my best to, you know, duplicate that. You know, he didn't get that record, but he did put up 175 yards, 175 needed yards, you know, which gave, you know, the team a balanced attack through the air and on the ground. And not to mention the defense. The defensive line has really been playing up to par.
Oh, man, lights out.
Up under new defensive coordinator Monty Kiffin and Rob Marinelli. They had a defensive line flying. 6 sacks against Sam Bradford. He hadn't been sacked all season.
Six sacks against one team?
Hey, that speaks volumes for the Dallas Cowboys defensive line and what Monty Kiffin has done during this offseason with that Cowboys defense in general.
And you got to figure, coming out of that game, Tony Romo had a quarterback rating of 96.7 in that game. And I'm going to tell you, as you spoke of that defensive line, that's what, outside of the running attack, that was the next thing that stood out in my mind, how that defensive line was able to dominate in the trenches. And I think that really, to me, when you look at the X's and O's and you figure out what really played a factor in that game, I think them being able to rattle Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford comes out of that game with a 14.4 quarterback rating. 14.4 quarterback rating. You got to figure the Dallas Cowboys had 21 first downs, which wasn't so much of a comparison in this area, and St. Louis had 17. But passing first downs, the Cowboys and St. Louis were even. St. Louis had 11. But when I start looking at the ability to convert on third downs, Cowboys was able to get that done. They was able to get that part of the game done, and it made a tremendous difference. And then you talked about the sacks. Sacks for yards lost. You got to figure St. Louis had 6 sacks for 43 yards lost. The Cowboys only had 1 sack for 7 yards. So that gives you an indication of the defensive line pass rush, who dominated in the trenches. And the Cowboys rushed for 193 yards, 175 of those were straight from DeMarco Murray. Penalizations, right. Cowboys still kind of up there when it comes to penalties, but that happens in an emotional type game like that. I can go with that any day over when it comes to accepting penalties. I mean, and when you look at it, like you said, the new change where you give up play calling duties and become a head coach, do you think that is helping the Dallas Cowboys with this season, the way they have jumped out here to a 2-1 start and on top of the NFC East?
I think it helped out, you know, Red J more than Jason Garrett. When I say Red J, more than anybody, it gives them an opportunity to sit back, you know, and diagram the game as it's going, you know, he with him having to call the plays and, you know, at the same time coach his team and monitor his team and see what's going on, you know, I think it was a little bit too much for him, you know, being a young coach, a young head coach in NFL football league, you know. But I think that really, with him, you know, not having to call those plays and letting Bill Callahan take over those duties, which I still think Jason Garrett has some type of say-so in what, you know, what's being run on the field. But, you know, like I said, him stepping back and letting Callahan take the majority of the play calling, you know, that's going on in the game, I really think that's beneficial to him as a coach. You know, I think that's giving him an opportunity to just really just sit back and see what's going on, as opposed to him having to call those plays and, you know, kind of coach the team at the same time. His clock management and, you know, his game management is starting to evolve, and he's starting to become that coach that we've been looking for. I still think he needs to be a little bit more fiery at times, you know, when he has questions about calls on the field, maybe challenging certain plays. But overall, I'll give him a B+ as far as his coaching has been, you know, as far as coaching going on this year.
And as you know, you can see Escobar is starting to, you know, come around a little bit. Escobar is starting to help this offense out a lot. It's going to be tough to defend the Dallas Cowboys when they come ready to play. And you spoke about game management, so let's switch gears a little bit. We done talked about the Cowboys out there in D-Town. Let's talk about Joe Flacco. And you know him and Ray Lewis are having a difference in views when it comes to the Baltimore Ravens. I'm going to tell you, Joe Flacco is kind of a little ticked off with some of the things that Ray Lewis has been saying. And it amazes me now sometimes when we're playing, we speak one way, and once we become an analyst, we talk another way. Is Ray Lewis, when he talked about the lack of leadership that the Baltimore Ravens are having, is Ray Lewis calling out his teammates when he speaks of something like that? Well, his ex-teammates, I would say, because he's no longer a Baltimore Raven.
Right. Well, I don't know, Tony. I wouldn't say he's directly calling out anybody in general, but what you have to look at as far as the whole picture, you have to look at the picture in this whole. The Baltimore Ravens lost plenty of, I want to say, what, 9 defensive players? Like 7 or 9 players that started on their defense last year, including Mr. Ray Lewis, which was their leader, and Ed Reed. You know, both of those players being gone, you know, you're going to have to have time to, you know, figure out who's going to be that demonstrative leader on your team. You know, I really feel like they might have some quiet leaders in that locker room, you know, players that did play last year for them, and, you know, a lot of players that returned on the offensive side of the ball. You know, you just don't have that Ray Lewis right now. And I don't think anybody could duplicate what Ray Lewis did as a leader for his football team. Nobody in the history of football, you know, the way he gave those speeches before game, during game, after game. You know, nobody can be like that. And if he's looking for somebody to be like that, then he's crazy. You know, but
we got to look at now. I mean, they're not in a bad situation. I mean, they're not at the top when you talk about passing yards, rushing yards, but they are what we thought they would be. They're 2-1 right now. They're 2-1. So when you say 2-1, it's a difference when you're saying they're 0-3. And Ray Lewis is saying that they don't have leadership skills. Like as he spoke about, Ray Lewis stated that his former team needs some help in the leadership department. Joe Flacco came back and said he wasn't thrilled with Ray Lewis's comments. And his exact words that he quoted from the Baltimore Sun, Ray knows better than that. Things happen. I think we're usually a pretty good team with stuff like that. If you look around the league, there are probably a lot of leadership problems then. Like I said, Ray knows better. Is that a way? Can Joe Flacco call out Ray Lewis like that? Or should Ray Lewis understand that you're going to have these types of issues when two of your top leaders that you've had for years are gone? And your teammates know that. They understand that. So do you get in the media and you say that, especially when you got a team that's 2-1? They're still 2-1. They're not 0-3.
They're not 1-2. So, you know, I don't think he said it, you know, in a mild manner. I don't think he's trying to be disrespectful of any sort. You know, I just think he just spoke his opinion of what he thought, from what he sees, or, you know, what he thought, because he's not there anymore. And I guess he's probably wondering in his head who's taking over his leadership role. I mean, and it's different ways to lead a team. You don't have to lead a team, you know, by, you know, just talking out loud and, you know, speaking, like I said, giving those long speeches. Like, for instance, DeMarcus Ware, he's a leader for the Cowboys, but he's not as outspoken as, I would say, Ray Lewis was. But he's definitely a leader for the Cowboys by his actions, by his play.
Correct.
You know, his work ethic, what they see on the field each and every day. He comes out to play hard each and every day. And, you know, when you have a player like that on your team, the younger guys or the people are going to fall in line and see why he's so successful. You know, and that's what I think the Ravens have, you know, they have good players on their team, offensively and defensively. And, you know, I'm pretty sure they have players that might be similar to, you know, what DeMarcus Ware does for the Cowboys. You know, maybe just not like Ray Lewis.
I mean,
you know, they're not very demonstrative and not very outspoken. Just, like I said, other ways to be a leader.
And I think Ray was speaking more along the lines when you talk about leadership. I think he was speaking more along the lines of the recent incident with Jacoby Jones and the late night party that they had on the bus, to where you got to remember Jacoby Jones got hit over the head with the bottle by a stripper on the party bus that was put on by their offensive lineman. And I think Ray was speaking of that during this time of the season. I think when Ray was with the Ravens. Ray knew about things like this, so he was able to he would be able to squash and say, "No, guys, not doing this time. We must focus on the team at hand. We can't focus on our own selfish gains, and we produce something like this." To now, Jacoby Jones could possibly be out for a couple of weeks due to the staples in his head, and I think that's what Ray Lewis is mainly talking about. And I think we got to also look at this whole overall situation. The Baltimore Ravens has been a quiet team when it comes to off the field incidents, and now all of a sudden, Ray Lewis is gone, Ed Reed is gone, and all of a sudden, boom, here we are, week three, and something like this explodes to where now your top receiver, you could possibly be losing your top receiver. I think that's the type of leadership role that he talked about. But when we talk about leadership, let's also go to the Buccaneers. Have they lost their leadership when it comes to their quarterback situation? Because as you know, Josh Freeman is benched in replace of backup quarterback Mike Gielen. Greg Schiano spoke about on Wednesday. Do you feel like with this situation, Greg Schiano is looking at his job and saying, "Is my job in jeopardy? I got to make a change, and I got to get a quick spark." So I bench Josh Freeman for Mike Gielen. Is that something that you automatically, drastically turn to at this point in the game because you're not understanding how long can you, as a coach, able to withstand the situation of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team that many thought could possibly make that run this year?
Well, I definitely think that Greg Schiano was looking at his job, you know, security. You know, the offense, as far as Josh Freeman being a quarterback, they hadn't really done much on the offensive side of the ball. The defense has played pretty good. They've kept the team in games, you know, for the most part. Not this past week. You know, they played Mr. Tom Brady and kind of shredded them. But, you know, in the previous two games, they were in both of those games, they only lost by field goal, you know, in each one. So, I feel like that had to do with the defensive side of the ball. And like I said, Josh Freeman just hadn't been getting the job done as a quarterback. And we all have heard the stories about, you know, Greg Schiano and Josh Freeman not seeing eye to eye as far as, you know, how Josh Freeman is not very, you know, a fiery type guy. And Greg Schiano is more of a fiery type leader, and he's looking for that in his quarterback. So I don't really blame him for benching Josh Freeman and going with Mike Glennon as his starter. You know, you got to get a fresh start. You got to try to get a spark somewhere on the offensive side of the ball. And Mike Glennon could possibly do that for your offense. They have weapons. They have weapons on the outside and have a running back, you know, in the backfield that, you know, can produce yards for their team. So maybe Mike Glennon could be the answer. Mike Glennon could give them their first victory this coming up week. But, you know, as far as Josh Freeman being benched, he's done. I mean, he's done in Tampa Bay. I've read reports about him, you know, seeking a trade, you know, because I guess he didn't want to sit on the bench or whatever. But that's just the nature of the NFL. It's a business. And, you know, these coaches are looking to keep their jobs. And if this quarterback is not doing the job for me and has me possibly on a hot seat, then he has to get on. He has to sit on that bench. And that's what happened.
And this is not only a situation with Greg Schiano because, you know, 9 times out of 10, you can bench other positions and there's not that much controversy. But once you bench the quarterback, you must go through the general manager and everybody. And Mark Dominique and Greg Schiano are in agreement. And what they're stating is that, hey, we believe that this gives us the best chance to win today. As you spoke about, the NFL is a two-day league. I got to win now. I got to win right now because guess what? I could be in today and out tomorrow. And I think the rifts that the Buccaneers are having, and you got to figure it, week two, it was Darrell Revis and Greg Schiano, because a lot of people are saying, is Greg Schiano using that same type of college mentality coach in the NFL and do that work. I don't see to where that has worked. I know it ran Nick Saban straight up out of town, and it ran the old ball coach right up out of town, because the NFL is totally different. You can't sit on top of these guys the way you sit on top of college guys. These are not that. These guys, half of these guys make more money than you. So we'll see now. Do Mike Gielen give them the best opportunity to play against the Arizona Cardinals? Then they go into a bye. Then they have Philadelphia, Atlanta, and Carolina. And we will see, does this change? Now, I'm going to tell you, if they come out of this Arizona game and all of a sudden they win this game, the Buccaneers fans are on a high. If you want to join us here on the Tony Sands Show and chime in on these topics, you can call me and Mr. B at 888-429-5471. That's toll free, 888-429-5471 here on the Tony Sands Show. Or you could call us at online one at 530-413-9537. But let's dig deep into that, as we say. So if you want to chime in, you can get in. Now we're talking about, now let's stay on this thing. We talk about leadership and change. What is going on in Green Bay? What is going on with the Green Bay Packers? This is not in character for a guy like Aaron Rodgers to go after him and his coach have a disagreement. Now, I don't know, you know, and we know, and I know from playing this game that you have that. And it's not like the Green Bay Packers are at the bottom of the league, because they're not. When it comes to passing, they third overall, 326 yards. But what you think brings on a skirmish between the coach and Aaron Rodgers?
I just think it's losing. I don't think, you know, neither one of those guys, Aaron Rodgers or the head coach, are used to, you know, taking L's. And they had an opportunity to win the football game this past week and they were getting blowed out at first, you know, and then allowed the team to come back. They put up 30 unanswered points and then allowed that team to come back and win the game. You know, I would be frustrated too, you know. And I've never seen this out of Aaron Rodgers, like you said. Never seen him, you know, come after his coach the way, or disagree with his coach the way he did, especially on national television. So, you know, that raised a lot of eyebrows. But I don't really think it's much of a problem, you know, over in Green Bay. They're just going to have to play vocal down on the defensive side of the football and make some stops. That's been the problem. And they're pretty dinged up, you know, on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball. You know, they going into a bye this week, which is a well-needed
bye for them. Exactly.
Like I said, they're broke down right now. And it's really early in the season to be so broke down. So you have a long way to go. And, you know, I just think Aaron was just frustrated, you know, frustrated with the loss. You know, and, you know, at times when you're losing, your frustration comes out. You're not able to control those emotions. And so I just think he kind of just went to Mike McCarthy and he just kind of told him what he was feeling at the time. And it might, you know, the media takes and burns everything and takes it out of proportion. And that might have been what happened on that Sunday. But like I said, I'm not too worried about it. I think Green Bay Packers have a pretty decent team. They need to get healthy. And we should see them later in the season, you know, putting up big numbers and winning ball games. I still pick them to come out their division this year. You know, they have a tough division with the Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions. You know, and you know, I don't know what to say about the Minnesota Vikings, but you know, they have a pretty decent division. You know, those two teams I named earlier, with the Bears correct. And the Lions, are both, you know, pretty legitimate in that division. The Lions' defense is starting to become better. And we already know that the Chicago Bears defense is turnover machine, and the offense is starting to come along because they're protecting Jay Cutler. So correct. You know they have some work to do over there in that NFC North, but it's gonna be a good show. You know, we'll get to see some good games in and out throughout the season up there.
And as I said, so you know, and that's the situation. When they come back, you got to figure when the Green Bay Packers come back, they will face the Detroit Lions, and you know they will face Calvin. Or Johnson, which Calvin, I'm confused. Johnson is the football guy. No, Johnson is the media guy. Calvin is the guy that go and get the job done. So if they got to face Calvin, it's going to be a rough day. And they could possibly, with the way I see Detroit coming out of that, they could possibly also take another loss. And then they go to Baltimore and then they go to Cleveland. But I'm telling you, the one thing that, like you said, they got a rash of injuries. And that was the biggest thing that Coach McCartney wanted to talk about. He said he's not worrying about his team health and, you know, performance. That they're going to take care of itself. The biggest thing he's worrying about now, I mean, the quarterback relationship, the biggest thing he's worrying about now is his team's health and their performance. He's not worrying about all that other stuff. That he's not worried about. He's worrying about the rash of hamstring injuries and the troubled trends to close football games is his biggest worry overall.
Right.
All the other stuff, he's not worried about at all. But, hey, you know, it's that time of the show when we go travel a mile high. We travel to go a mile high. When you talk about a mile high, you can only talk about one place, and that is the Denver Broncos. We bring on the Denver insider, Mr. VC himself, joins the Tony Sands Show. What's up, VC? What's going on, man?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic, Tony. How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing good, man. I know you're doing good because the Denver Broncos are big news to talk about when it comes to the winning category. And you guys are winning. I'm going to tell you this. And when I looked at a lot of things that took place this offseason, a lot of moves you guys made this offseason, the one thing that stood out to me, and I'm still trying to figure out with the New England Patriots, how do you do something like this? And it blows my mind because now it shows which team got the better of the deal when it comes to your slot receivers. They got Amendola because they said Rex Walter was too old and they thought he had lost a step. He go hooks up with Peyton Manning. And how has his impact helped Peyton Manning?
Oh, tremendously, Tony. I mean, as you can see, Wes Welker is consistently scoring on a weekly basis for the Denver Broncos. He's probably known as the best slot receiver in the NFL history, Wes Welker. So for the Patriots to lose a guy of that magnitude and for him to go over to the Denver Broncos, huge, Tony, huge.
And you guys are off to, as you say, 3-0 start. And the striking things that stands out to me when it comes to passing, you guys are number one overall with 374 yards average a game. You're rushing your 14, which that's to be expected in this category. That's to be expected. How do you see the rest of this thing playing out?
Oh, well, you know, Tony, if the Broncos can stay healthy like any other team in the league, health is going to be a major issue moving as the season progresses. So health is going to be the number one issue for this football team. Another thing I think that their team is going to have to be able to implement is the running game, okay? We all see now that Peyton Manning is back to his normal form. He's possibly having one of the best seasons of his entire career. But the Broncos are going to have to find a way to actually be able to run the ball effectively, especially when the weather gets bad, Tony, later on in the season. That's going to be a major factor. So I think if the Broncos can implement the running game to complement the passing game, I think that this team can actually overcome the disaster that they had last year of losing to the Baltimore Ravens in the playoffs. And I really think that this team has the possibility of actually going to the Super Bowl this year.
Now, when you look at this guy's schedule, you guys got you play Philadelphia. Philadelphia has that fast flying offense. Can your defense stand up to Chip Kelly's offense? You know, Chip Kelly's made a comment out in the paper that he would be willing to take you guys on in the parking lot if necessary. Do you think he's trying to fire up his guys because he know what is coming for his defense? He has to stop Peyton Manning. And here we are, Peyton Manning. At his age, look like he's playing his best football ever. Can his defense match up against the Denver Broncos offense?
Well, you know, I think this is going to be a big matchup this weekend. I expect the Philadelphia Eagles to definitely come back and play a better game than they played last week on Thursday Night Football against the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's remember now, they've had 12 days. They're going to have 12 days to prepare for the Broncos when in lieu of the Broncos have just played 2 days ago against the Oakland Raiders. So now what we have to remember now, Terrell Pryor was the quarterback for the Oakland Raiders the other night. So Jack Del Rio, the defensive coordinator of the Broncos, is going to use the same game plan against Terrell Pryor that he used on Monday night against Michael Vick on Sunday.
Michael Vick.
Which is basically keep that quarterback that's very mobile inside of that pocket and put a lot of pressure on him. So I think the Broncos are going to have a lot of success, but they're going to have to limit Michael Vick's capabilities.
Now, and I'm going to tell you, when you leave – and understand this now, when you leave Philadelphia and you will be tired, you got to go and face the Dallas Cowboys. Bibbs. I'm going to ask, because Bibbs is also joining us here on this Tony Sands show, and that's why I wanted to get to this and have all us on the line. B, they come to Dallas. How do you see Dallas's defensive front facing Denver's offensive front? Where do you see that mismatch coming in at?
Well, I mean, if Dallas can duplicate the sack total that they've, you know, accumulated in the last three games, then I think they have a, you know, a good chance at, you know, giving Peyton a good game. Like, without a doubt, Peyton's playing his greatest, best football I've seen him play over the years. You know, he's actually on pace to, you know, break Tom Brady's touchdown record right now, which we'll talk about that later in the season. But like I said, if the D-line can, you know, like I said, accumulate those sacks and get pressure on, that's the key to Peyton Manning. You can get pressure in his face and get some of those balls to come out a little earlier or, you know, maybe a little later, you know, and, you know, press up on those big receivers they have in Denver. And I think the Cowboys have a chance, but the one thing they're going to have to do is run the football. Just like my man BC said about the Broncos, they can, you know, sustain a running game. Just like the Cowboys, they can sustain a running game, a running attack that can balance out their offense, which will help Tony Romo, you know, down the line. I think they have an opportunity to beat the Broncos. Not saying they will, because the Broncos are on fire right now, but I think it'll be a great game, you know, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Cowboys come out with a victory if they can duplicate that running game that they did this past week.
Now, you heard Bibbs say he think that if they come out with that running game, how much pressure do that put on a team like the Denver Broncos defense if they come out with a strong running game like they did this past weekend?
Well, you see, he made some great points just a minute ago. If DeMarco Murray gets going against the Denver Broncos a little bit, the Broncos will have a major problem. It'll allow Tony Romo to do some play-action passes with Jason Witten. I think it's going to be a very competitive football game. I think the Broncos are going to have some issues with Chris Clark, who's now taken over for Ryan Clady due to his season-ending surgery that he has to have now. Chris Clark played a very good game the other night. He allowed one sack against the Oakland Raiders. It was a huge sack. But at the same time, I mean, Chris Clark, he's going to be going up against DeMarcus Ware. So the Broncos are going to have to find a way to be able to neutralize DeMarcus Ware, at the same time be able to move the ball in the Dallas defense, which is one of the better defenses of this season. So it's going to be a very good game, in my opinion. I think it's going to be a major test, especially with the Broncos playing against the Eagles this week, Tony, and next week against the Cowboys.
And I think that playing against that fast, how much do you see the Philadelphia Eagles fast pace offense being a hindrance to the Denver Bronco adjusting to a change?
I think that the Philadelphia Eagles have to be very careful here in this football game. I mean, they're going out to Mile High Stadium, where the altitude is way above sea level, 10,000 feet above sea level. So a lot of teams go out there and, you know, they start fast, but by the early third quarter, teams are burnt out, Tony. So for them to be going out there and running this fast-paced offense, I think that they're going to have to score when they actually run this offense. And if they don't score, I think that they're going to put themselves in jeopardy of an endurance type of an issue. And if the Broncos can move the ball effectively like they've been, and again, implement some of the running game to keep Michael Vick off the field, I think the Broncos are going to have a lot of success against the Eagles. But I do think the Eagles will come prepared to play this game, though.
And how much do you think the Mile High altitude affects this fast-paced offense, though? And I played out there. And, boy, I'm going to tell you something. It makes you feel like you're winded.
Yeah, winded. I agree. Totally. I mean, I think that, you know, by the third quarter, guys are going to be feeling like they're carrying a bus on their back. So, you know, I think that Chip Kelly and these guys, they're going to have to find a way to run the ball with LeSean McCoy. Effectively, I think they're going to have to use Brent Celek, the tight end, and try to get him involved. You know, they're deficient on the wide receiver position because Jeremy Maclin's out for the season. So, you know, DeSean Jackson's going to have a huge game.
Exactly. He's got to have a big game in order for this to work. But, B, hey, man, right. Thank you for joining the Tony Sands Show. Man, we're finna go to a commercial break. me, and we got to get back down to Miami, Florida, because I got one of my Miami fans that is joining the Tony Sands show. I'm going to bring him on because the Dolphins did win this week. So, you know, the Miami Dolphin fans here, these fair weather fans here in South Florida, love talking Miami football when the Dolphins are winning. They hot when they're losing, and they on high when they winning. So, AB, I'm going to call you because we got to talk some things. B, we got to talk about some things that's going on in the Mile High area, especially when they get ready to talk about the Cowboys, some things we got to do. But I'll call you after the show, man. Hey, thank you for joining the Tony Sands Show. Guys, listen, when we come back, Miami did win, so we're going to dig into the Miami Dolphins. And I'm bringing on my main man, a fan that's been a loyal fan for the Miami Dolphins. I'm bringing him on, Mr. Garrett, and we're going to talk Miami win. Is Miami real, or are they just leading their fans on? Stay tuned here on the Tony Sands Show.
Ladies, whether you're trying to look good for that special someone, or you're Miss Independent and you just want to look good for yourself, listen, you need to scratch where you've been going, because sensational is where you need to be. Where they specialize in shortcuts, weaves, sew-ins, and wraps, and so forth. At Sensational Beauty Salon, it's guaranteed that they'll have you looking for an appointment. Call 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. Located at 801 South Dixie Highway, Suite 5 in Cypress. Commercial brought to you by Focus and Dirty B.
Still be a baby, baby.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. We're talking now at this point in the show. Let's talk a little Miami Dolphins. We went mile high, so now let's go back a mile low and let's head to South Florida. And we bring it on a great fan. You're still here with Tony Sands and Mr. B out of Dallas Cowboys, my Cowboy insider, still with the Tony Sands Show. Let's talk to it. One of our guys out of South Florida that's on the ground in South Florida that I'm quite sure had an exciting weekend when it comes to football, with the Miami Dolphins winning 27-3 over the Atlanta Falcons. Welcome to the Tony Sands, Garrett. What's going on, Jim?
I wish we would have won 27-3. We won 27-23, Tony. I know
27-23. Yeah, you're right. 27-23. I'm sorry.
I want to talk junk, Tony. I want to talk junk.
I know you want to dig into this because I kind of went at you a little bit last week. I know you want to dig into it. Let's dig deep into it. Now we're gonna give you the win, you guys.
I want to make it known, Tony. Before we go to talk about stats, we can talk records. And the first record I want to mention is 3-0, because that's what the Dolphins are. And I also want to mention that I'm 2-0 because KC won and Miami won as well. So
you're right.
I'm looking like I know what I'm talking about over here, Tony.
Yeah, I mean, the Dolphins are winning, and I'm gonna give you that. The Dolphins are winning. They're handling their business. They were able to, you know, like I said, they beat Cleveland 23-10. They beat the Indianapolis Colts 24-20, and then you beat Atlanta 27-3.
I wasn't really that impressed with those wins. Looking back now at Indianapolis and what they did to San Francisco, I mean, it's amazing that we beat Indianapolis the way that we did. I am impressed with the test. I believe we passed the test with beating Atlanta. Like I told you before, they were a little hobbled. They were a little hurt, to say the least. They weren't at 100%. But Miami appears to be doing everything right. They're making big plays on offense, defense, special teams. And the biggest thing to me is they're not beating themselves. You know,
they're playing smart football. They're playing Joe Philbin type of football. You got to understand, Joe Philbin is a Green Bay Packer. So he understands that winning tradition. But let's look at this game, because there's a couple things that really, like you said, when you look at this game and you wonder how this game played out, and all of a sudden you get Miami, which when it comes to first downs, we know Atlanta dominated that part of the game. With 20, you know, they had 24 first downs, and Miami had 16.
Like a nosebleed. I mean, we couldn't stop the run. We acquired a little help this week. But we can't stop the run, Tony. I mean,
and I'm gonna tell you something.
We need some help on the offensive line as well, because to tell you the truth, Atlanta beat us for three quarters. Thank God the game is played for four.
And that's and I'm gonna tell you something. I'm on my phone and I'm getting texts back and forth. You know, because in the beginning, you know, Atlanta winning, I'm texting guys saying, okay, hey, look. Uh-oh, here we go. And the guy texts me back, you got to remember, football is played four quarters. You know, so because me and my guy, one of my guys that's another big Dolphin fan that I bring on every now and then on the show, D, he is a diehard Miami Dolphin fan, and he loves the Miami Dolphins. And I texted him early, soon as Atlanta got out of here, hey, what I told you, here they go, old Dolphins. Now, T, games played four quarters. But now I'm going to tell you, you guys go to New Orleans now.
Guys. We got a brutal five-game start. We got a brutal. Now, this really, to me, this is a test. I mean,
you go to New Orleans.
You got Drew Brees is, I believe, number three overall, underneath Peyton Manning for 1,021 yards. Peyton throwing for 1,021. Peyton Manning threw for 1,143. So he's three. He's right underneath Rodgers. I mean, they got Graham. They have so many options and so many ways to kill you and gut you through running the ball, through throwing the ball. I mean, special teams. They're all around a dangerous team. They got their coach back. I mean, the Saints were nothing to be played with last year. They just weren't coached well. They're not a bad team. They're a very great team overall. They just weren't coached well. And now, to me, they bounced back beautifully. And they're very
But dangerous. I think the mismatch is where I think you guys are going to have a struggle is who are you going to have guarding tight end Jimmy
Graham.
That's the biggest mismatch that I see because
from what
you got
bigger. I can't knock him because you know he's from the U, and I love that, baby. So
you heard the song that I led into before I brought you on, Are They U Ready? And Jimmy Graham is a U Ready type of guy. He is that type of guy. How do you – a guy that only played one season.
You can only help to contain him. You know that. You can only help to contain him. The man, he's going to get
and
open.
Except Patrick,
he's going to catch that shouldn't have been caught.
But he beat up on Patrick Peterson now. You're talking about one of the best corners in the game right now, and he beat up on Patrick Peterson. You guys
– Patrick Peterson's mouth has been bigger than his game lately.
Yeah, now you got to think it. When you got to face one week, you go and face. Got to remember this now. You face one Megatron. Calvin Johnson week prior to that. And then you got to face – right after that, you go face a Jimmy Graham, a guy that's 6'7". 265 pounds? How do you defend that when you're 6 foot type of corner and you're facing a guy that's 6'7", 265 pounds?
Graham is third in receiving behind Jones and Jackson. I mean, how can you stop this man?
But I'm saying, how do you think how you guys gonna contain that though? What do you see him coming in at? Do you see him playing a two type of – they're going to have to play a two cloud. What I mean by that is they're going to have to play one guy off him and then a safety over the top of him in order to maintain him, because you're not going to play him one-on-one. I don't see you guys being
– I think we're going to be in the zone. I believe we're going to be in the zone the entire time with that upbeat, fast offense, you know, with New Orleans. I mean, it's so fast to where, you know, you're not going to be able to sub – I heard you talking about Denver being, you know, it's going to be so fast. They're going to be tired too. You know, everybody's going to be tired. So not only do you got to hope to contain Graham, you're going to be tired while doing it because you're going to be running all over the place.
But now you got to figure Grimms. Let's look at Grimms. And Grimms is your best corner by far. Grimms is the best corner. But now Grimms is only. When everybody heard you in his numbers, Grimms is best
Wilson,
at 5'9". How do you put a 5'9" corner?
We did have a Jimmy Wilson sighting. I mean, he's showing up out of nowhere.
You did have that, but are you able to and understand this? Like I say, I still say right now, game ready to go. Grimms is going to be your best corner. So how do you take him? You're going to have to give him help. You're going to either have to put Clemens over the top of him, or you're going to have to put Jones over the top of him, because he's going to have his work cut out for him, because I don't see him defending.
I think that's going to be the whole game. I believe that's how we're going to cover him, though, you know, because he can't be stopped one-on-one. We don't have anybody to stop him one-on-one. There's nobody in the league, really. He shined on, like you said, the top corners in the league. There's nobody really to stop him one, and linebacker can't keep up with him because he's big like a tight end, but he's fast, and he has wide receiver speed.
And when you look at this guy, and people must understand, this is a guy that only played one season at the University of Miami. But this is the biggest thing I have, I think, with Miami, especially with their drafting. Bibbs, you with me?
I'm with y'all, man. I'm listening to it.
Let's break this down, man. You get an opportunity to get.
I want to beat up on B about Buffalo. I want to talk to him about Buffalo. How he was talking. He was telling me the Dolphins need to be worried about Buffalo. Excuse me. I still
gotta be worried about Buffalo now. No, let's not get over that now. Don't automatically now. You can't automatically just launch y'all off to the top of the AFC. You know, you are 3-0. At the end of the season, is what I worry about the Miami Dolphins though. I'm gonna tell you where y'all gonna. I figure every year it happens to you. Once we go to about week 9, I see the bottom start dropping out on you. The best thing that you guys have going after week 9 is that you don't play. They play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They play San Diego. They play Carolina. They play New York, the Jets, which is in their division.
Well, Let's break down your schedule.
Let's break down your schedule. Let's break through your schedule, because I'm going to take it down this way. New Orleans, that's going to be a tough game. Baltimore, that'll be a tough game. Buffalo, I mean, you got a bye week before you play Buffalo.
You telling me that'll be a tough game. You just told me that.
If that New Orleans and Baltimore, and then you got a bye, and then you go to Buffalo, which is another tough game.
Buffalo's going to be a hard game, too, now.
After the ninth game, because I said that's when the bottom normally falls out of you at ninth game. Because y'all, now, when you look at it, y'all said this haven't happened since 2002. But you guys have been, you know, you guys do jump out to a fast pace, and I think the nightlife catches up with you around week 9. And that's what happens with the Miami Dolphins. The nightlife tend to catch up with them. After week 9.
Well, listen, I'm going to have to the Atlanta Falcons. They went to thinking about how they was winning. They're going to go to Tootsie's and King of Diamonds and South Beach.
And they're hanging out in all the places. Diamonds, King of Diamonds, they're going to frequent them. They're going to go on South Beach. They're going to party stuff out week 9. But it's the schedule working their favor because they got Tampa Bay. Then they go to San Diego. Then they got Carolina. Then they got the Jets. Then they got Pittsburgh. All those are winnable games. By the Miami Dolphins.
0-3, 1-2, 1-2, 2-1, 0-3. You don't
face a tough guy until week 15, and that's when you play the New England Patriots. You don't play nobody else, and then you got Buffalo, and you end with the Jets week 17. You end with the Jets in Miami.
Which is a great way to end.
You bring the Jets.
Right on into the playoffs. We can just board that Jet. Just going off into the playoffs,
and you win. Now, my biggest issue that I see that you guys are having, like I say, outside of the nightlife attacking you, getting you guys still got to come up with the rush because you're 28th overall in the NFL with rushing. If you don't get that taken care of, I don't see I don't see it as being much right now. Thomas and Miller, you know, I seen some spurts of Miller that I did like in this past game. I got an opportunity to see that I liked. And you guys played those two guys probably better this game than I've seen in the past where you did that 1-2 punch. I'm going to hit you with the quickness, then I'm going to pound you, and then I'm going to hit you with the quickness. But now, are you able to maintain that later on in the season when it truly, truly, truly counts? I don't know if you guys can hold
on. I'm speaking from a fan from the heart, I'm going to say yes. But to speak educated, at least from my perspective, I'm watching these games, and I'm
watching teams play on Sunday and then on Thursday, and I'm watching all these injuries and teams losing key players. Manning losing his offensive line, his blind side down, although he still played great without him. But you're losing these key players. You don't know who you're going to have at week nine. You know, right now, you wouldn't sit there and tell me that Pittsburgh was going to be 0-3 right now. You know,
I would have never told you that going into the season, that they would be in the situation and predicament that they are in.
No.
At all. So, I would have never taken
that. I believe that a lot of that has, you know, you can't train, you know, all these rules and regulations, and it just like, you know, you're playing the games, you're playing it for the fans, you can't hit, you're scared, I don't know. I'm going to hope that's what I told you would work. I would want to see getting it out there, slash it, hitting it with the fast, then pound them. Then as soon as you get used to the pound, speed it up again on them. That's what I want to see. Is that going to be able to last all season? I would hope so. I would like to see that, you know, because obviously it's successful so far, it's working for us.
Hopefully it does. Mike Wallace is, you know, going to play big for you guys. I think that's going to play a factor. You guys understood how to get him into the game.
I don't feel like him and Tannehill have a great rapport the way him and Roethlisberger did. And at the same time, Roethlisberger and Tannehill are two different quarterbacks entirely.
Of course. That they are. But, hey, guys, I got about 30 seconds left. Give me your prediction on the Miami-New Orleans game.
They playing in New Orleans?
Yeah, they playing in New Orleans now.
I'm taking N.O.
All right, you taking N.O.? And, gee, I'm going to ask you this question, but I know who you're going with anyway. Give me your opinion on the Cowboys game this weekend. I'm switching that up. I'm letting you go against the Cowboys and him going against the Miami Dolphins. Give me your prediction. Do you see the Cowboys winning this week?
I'm going to shock you and say yes, Tone. I'm going to shock you and say yes. And I'm going to go a step further and say I believe that they'll win that division.
All right. And you heard it from my guys here on the Tony Sands Show. Guys, hey, thanks for joining the Tony Sands Show. And by the way, when you ask me that pick, I'm going to leave you on that because I am the captain of the show. I see New Orleans winning the show in New Orleans over the Miami Dolphins. I'll see you next week, G. I know you want to come back, but I ain't letting you come back, bro. I got it. New Orleans Saints will win that game. Join us here later next week. Next Wednesday here on the Tony Sands Show.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raising the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.